Welcome to Sabrina Artel's Trailer Talk. I'll bring you all kinds of stories from all kinds of people. Whether it's a live public conversation and we're speaking from the kitchen table of my 1965 Beeline travel trailer, from the studios or on the streets, please sit back and enjoy the conversation right here this time every week. Today's show is from the Binghamton and Loch Sheldrake, New York public hearings for the DEC, Department of Environmental Conservation, about the draft supplemental environmental impact statement, the SGEIS. Once the public comment period closes on January 11th, fracking can begin in New York once the DEC issues a final SGEIS. In both Binghamton and Loch Sheldrake, the days were cold and very windy. People waited for many hours, some throughout the day, to submit their public comment and to listen to what others had to say. People were even turned away at the four hearings that were held throughout the state. These are some of the voices from the rally from Binghamton, New York, from the hearing on November 17th, 2011, and some of the hundreds of people providing their public statements in the auditorium.
To a renewable future, that's like saying you can go forwards by walking backwards. Current SGEIS fails to address cumulative effects. As such, it cannot adequately protect communities, ecosystems, long-term economics, or the public health. The DEC also misrepresents historical drilling experience by saying there have been no past incidents. While the DEC may never have taken effective action, complaints have numbered quite large and there have been many injured citizens. Not a single scientific study has been undertaken to accurately assess the long-term health impacts of a variety of toxin exposure avenues, including well failings, surface chemical spills, and deliberate volatilization of hazardous chemicals from flowback fluids. Hundreds, if not thousands, of individual complaints across the country have been obscured and hidden by non-disclosure agreements demanded for even partial industry compensation. Such non-disclosure clauses should not be allowed in New York. The seriousness of these incidents is real, and a long list of medical associations within New York State has expressed grave concern over the lack of studies and investigation. The failure to address these concerns puts the FSCAIS in clear violation of its mandate. The FSCAIS treats these unevaluated hazards as if they had been evaluated and proven safe. In this manner, the DEC and the drilling industry would be in effective collusion, placing an impossible burden of proof on injured private citizens instead of actually demonstrating what practices are safe and holding the industry responsible for its actions. The proposed FSCAIS would undermine our safety by failing to recognize that the hazardous chemicals going into a well are equally hazardous when they come back out. This will result in weak and inadequate guidelines for their disposal. Proving the case of illness caused by hypothesized and undisclosed chemicals is, of course, virtually impossible. Therefore, complete lists of chemicals with quantitative amounts of each, proprietary or not, must be provided well by well. These lists must be available in advance of use, because without them, water testing is a futile, ineffective endeavor. Lack of full chemical disclosure ensures minimal liability for the drilling companies under a deliberate cloak of ignorance placed over knowable risks. The insincerity of protections in the proposed FSCAIS is also obvious in the unequal protections granted to the watersheds of New York City compared to the rest of the state. Finally, Executive Order 24 sets the target of an 80% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions in New York by 2050, and methane is an extremely potent greenhouse gas. The FSCAIS must include an absolute requirement for the full capture of fugitive gases associated with flowback waters and completion stages of well drilling. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Jonas Perr, and I'm from Troomsville, New York. I'm representing all the kids in New York State. When I'm your age, I hope to have clean drinking water. When I'm old enough to get a job, I hope my job is not toxic. Why should you be allowed to put something in the ground and say whether it's safe or not if you don't know what's in it? And if it is safe, why is it exempt from the Clean Water Act? All of you people are in your future. This is about my future and my kids' future. Thank you for your time.
My name is Julia Walsh. I'm the campaign director of Frack Action. I'm a landowner with 5 acres in the Catskill Mountains in both the Marcellus and Utica Shale. And I'm a former elected official from the Village Board of New Paltz. I became this issue as a landowner when I heard of this industry being exempt from federal laws put into place to protect Americans from toxic corporations. I began to educate myself about the industry and thought that fracking could never happen in this state. I'm still shocked that we are having this conversation. It is clear that this industry will threaten our economy, environment, public health, and safety. And for the millions of dollars that the gas industry has, they can't even turn out a large number of people to these hearings right now. And that their shirts that say jobs, they don't seem to understand that those jobs are going to be coming from out-of-state drillers who are trained in other states how to drill rigs. We don't have those jobs, and I think I can speak for most of the young people in this room when we don't want those jobs. The commissioner of the DEC to withdraw this document and for the governor of New York to ban fracking completely and engage in a real renewable energy economy that this country desperately needs a leader and a state to follow. I also want to say that as an elected official, I was sworn to uphold the state's constitution of equal protection under the law. And it is clear that this document is a political document creating the guise of protection for some in Syracuse and New York City at the threat of others across this state. New Yorkers realize this. The emperor has no clothes, and we can see that. I'm urging you in the DEC right now to really call yourself into finding out what is the reason that you're in this position to begin with, to protect the environment and the public's health. We need whistleblowers now. The time has come to stand up. People are afraid across this state right now. They are terrified that they are going to be poisoned and that their children are going to get cancer because of this industry. And I call on you in your ethics and your own morality right now to stand up and join us in the call to stop this insanity and stop this industry from moving forward and destroying this beautiful, vibrant state that we love.
Mic check. We are the 99%. We will not sit by. While gas companies
exploit our land.
All for the sake.
Of monetary gain.
We do not believe.
That short term.
Economic gain.
These are conversations from some of the hundreds of people at the DEC hearing in Loch Sheldrake, New York, on November 29th, 2011.
My name is Barbara Arundel. I'm the director of Damascus Citizens for Sustainability, and we are Delaware River Basin wide plus, involved also in things in the Hudson Valley and countrywide in reference to hydraulic fracturing, drilling, and the whole sustainability movement. We're here as individuals who are concerned about our environment and our future. For instance, in Dimmick, there's isotopic tests have been done showing that the gas in the aquifer layer is thermogenic, which means it's from the formation layers. And similar tests have been done showing that material has moved from thermogenic layers, from the formation layers, a whole bunch of other places. There's a plume in the Pinedale Aquifer near the Jonah Gas Field that goes 28 miles, certified by Bureau of Land Management, 88 sample water samples. The EPA has certified that there is hydraulic fracturing chemicals in Pavilion, Wyoming. There's no other industry in the area, so it could only have come from drilling. There's many, many examples, but when the corporations own the major media, their message is getting out. They stick to their message, which is a lie. It's a whole lot of lies. It's a fabric of lies, and that fabric of lies is going to impinge on our ability to live, because you cannot live without water, clean water, and there's only a very small percentage of water is actually potable, meaning you can put it in a pot. And also, the amount of pollutants in the air from this practice is phenomenal. It's really the suffering caused by this is phenomenal. And when you add up the economic costs in reference to the benefits to the few and the corporate, it doesn't add up.
I'm from Colesville, New York. I think there are concerns, and rightfully so, but I think that I belong to a coalition, and we've set pretty stringent rules for the gas company to drill on our land. With our rules plus the DEC rules, I think that we can do this safely. I'm from the southern tier of New York, which is financially in a bad situation, and I think this would help us out a lot. The anti say that, hey, we can go with strictly organic farming and tourism, and all that does is give you minimum wage jobs. They claim that only a few people make a lot of money. Well, the other way, even with tourism, only a few people make money. So it's something that drilling will benefit everyone. I mean, all ships will rise with this. I mean, because the amount of things that will be developed, I mean, it's just a cascading thing that will just keep going. And we're not talking about, everybody's talking about short-term boom, but in reality what it is, it's going to be, I would say, a minimum of 100-year play.
Tom Shepstone is the Northeast Marcellus Region Campaign Manager for Energy In Depth, a fracking and drilling advocacy group backed by the Independent Petroleum Association of America, the IPAA, that was founded in 2009.
I grew up in Wayne County, Pennsylvania, and I'm also employed as a consultant with Energy In Depth, which is an industry organization, and I've done a lot of planning work in both Sullivan and Wayne, and actually Ulster, Orange counties, and all that stuff. So I have a great interest in the development of the area, and I think this is absolutely super critical to the economy of this area. We know this can be done safely and responsibly. There's no question about that, and we need it, and we need it now. This area is dying. It's absolutely dying. Plenty of legitimate people who raise questions, and everybody should in America raise questions. That's fine. But when I hear the arguments, it always boils down to one simple word: speculation. There's not a single proven instance of hydraulic fracturing polluting a water supply in 60 years of doing it in this country. There's not one in New York. We've been doing it 60 years in New York. We've been doing hydraulic fracturing 60 years, not one incident. And the idea that somehow this is threatening our water is absurd. It's absolutely absurd. There is no evidence to that effect. No evidence. And the only problems that have occurred have been areas where people have gone in and there's been some where they haven't understood the methane migration, and that's been a problem in a few instances. Has nothing to do with fracturing, nothing whatsoever. And those problems have been corrected, and we have here today this casing which demonstrates how you deal with the methane migration as well as any other problem. I'm going to introduce you to Chesapeake. So we know it can be done safely, and we need to do it now.
Dan LaPata from Chesapeake Energy, the second largest producer of natural gas, was on site at the DEC hearing in Lock Sheldrake, New York, with pamphlets and a well casing defending the safety of fracking and drilling.
Each stage, and like I said, there's 12 stages as we call them, each stage takes roughly 500,000 gallons of water mixed with sand to fracture the rock, and the sand acts as a, we call it a propant, so that whenever the water creates the pressure to crack the rock, the sand follows to go into those cracks so that when the pressure is relieved, sand stays in place so that crack that's been created cannot close on itself. There's a small amount of different chemicals that we put down with the water that perform different operations, and the volume of the chemical is less than 1% of the total volume of fluid that's pumped. And it does things such as protects the pipe from corrosion. It helps to initiate the fracture by an acid type material to help eat up debris. The perforation that you create, is it just like anything else, if you cut a hole in something, you have debris from cutting that hole. So this perforation, we've actually cut a hole in that pipe and out into that formation, and there's debris that's now stuck in there. So we have to eat that debris out of those perforations. That helps us to initiate the fracture. And there's also some bacterial type chemicals, because we don't want to create a bacteria environment by injecting the fresh water down the well bore, which most fresh waters have bacteria naturally occurring in it. So we have a bacteria chemical to keep that bacteria from being transmitted down into that rock. There's also different chemicals to assist with the creation of scales. Waters that mix create scales. We don't want scales because they act to plug those cracks or fractures. So just a small batch of chemicals, like I said, about less than 1% of the total volume of all the water that goes down there is a chemical.
Ramsey Adams is the director of Catskill Mountain Keeper, an environmental organization protecting the Catskills of New York.
People are really against this. The majority of people are against it. And even with the billions of dollars this industry is putting into this, grassroots are outnumbering them. If you tell a lie enough times, people start to believe it. It's just total a lie. I mean, there is so many documented, proven water contamination episodes from fracking all over the place. You know, in Texas and Wyoming and Pennsylvania, it's outrageous and ridiculous. Toxics Targeting's Walter Hang has, you know, outlined, you know, 260, you know, environmental water contamination issues caused by fracking in New York State. This, granted, it's vertical fracking, but the point is that you can just keep lying and a certain number of people will believe you. But evidence is, you know, science, and it causes it. Will every drill episode cause a contaminated well? Maybe not, but to say that that's never happened, and that sort of should be criminal. I don't know how a representative of a public company can lie over and over again and not be called to account. DEC is not doing their job. Their job is to protect. It's the Department of Environmental Conservation. Their job is to protect the environment and to help conserve our natural resources for future generations. All they're doing is developing a roadmap as fast as possible to industrialize the rural landscape of the Catskills and the Southern Tier. They want to drill in the Catskill Park, they want to drill in the Delaware River Basin, and they want to drill in the Finger Lakes. It's outrageous. The industry has no regard for people and lives. It's all about money. And so they pick places that are close to infrastructure, and they'll drill on churches, they'll drill in schools, they'll drill anywhere. I mean, that's what's amazing about this. You know, it's all about money. It's not about people. It's not about health. It's not about the landscape and preserving the rural character of communities. It's all about money. And this is the same industry. This is ExxonMobil. It's Halliburton. Multinationals and foreign companies like Nornu, Statoil Hydro, all from European companies. So this idea that it's little mom-and-pop gas shops, you know, your friend across the street, and it's, you know, good for national security and it's good for climate. Again, it's just perpetuating these lies with a multi-billion-dollar ad campaign. New York Times reported last weekend that they spent many millions of dollars in the last 8 months in Albany. Lobbyists, they didn't even calculate the money they've spent on ad campaigns, probably in the billions in New York, and they gave over $100,000 to Cuomo directly into his pocket. And that was straight industry to Cuomo money. We don't even know how much money, sort of secondary and sort of more crafty ways of funneling gas cash to the governor. So, you know, the fix is in. But we're going to just fight. You know, we're not going to stop. We're not going to lose. We're going to die with our boots on. You know, we're just not going to go away, and we're going to stand up and be proud. And, you know, we're going to talk about people and communities and health and the environment, and they're going to talk about money. This is an opportunity for public participation in a process that's fixed. And the activists have been out there every day, year in and year out, fighting this fight.
Jeff Gollier. I'm a priest in Ellenville Episcopal Church, and I'm representing the Episcopal Diocese of New York. We have 62,000 members, including the city and seven northern counties as far north as Ulster and Sullivan. And we're always concerned about the communities that our, you know, members are part of. And this issue is one that raises a lot of issues about the health and well-being of communities. So it becomes a major issue. Ultimately, the main one is going to be the groundwater, water itself. I mean, jobs are an issue. Property values are an issue, and how deep drilling could affect that. In a certain sense, I mean, the decisions that we have to make now, hopefully that the people make, will be are a moral issue, and it's really what kind of risks are we willing to take, and on what basis, and are we, you know, do we have the information that we need to take? But the position of the church about this is that it's not exactly, you know, being for or against natural gas. The issue is how to maintain the integrity of, and health of people in the communities and provide a strategy for economic development that actually allows us to have a sustainable future. We would strongly advise against any kind of development that could endanger the possibility of not only a healthy place to live, but one where people might not want to invest in this area because there have been so much damage done. And it's a question of risk, you know, and how much risk is anyone willing to take when it comes to family and friends or even people we don't know? That's the question people are really asking, I think. But we would say that no risk is acceptable when it comes to the health of people and the environment. There is no risk that's acceptable, and that's and especially when you don't really know. Accidents always happen, always will. You can count on it. That's the way we see it, really. We don't see people on different sides of this issue as being enemies, but being afraid for what the future is going to mean. And often, when we're afraid, we don't make good decisions, and for the long term or for the present. We're interested in community here.
Leah Maidenbaum, and I am here at the DEC meeting because I'm against fracking. I'm a mother who has written a letter to Governor Cuomo with over 200 signatures of mothers of Sullivan County against fracking. And I don't believe the DEC's regulations are going to protect us at all. I don't believe that fracking should be done at all in New York State, and so I'm here.
My name is Wes Gillingham from Catskill Mountain Keeper. We've been doing this for 3 years. It's time to pay attention to the science. Not have it be a political process. Realize the science is there to say drilling is not safe. Governor Cuomo is pushing this forward way too fast. This is not good for New York. It's not good for us. It's not good for our children. I am going to introduce a series of speakers that have different angles from this issue. Next, I'd like to introduce Jill Wiener from Catskill Citizens for Safe Energy.
The DEC held only 4 public hearings in New York, which many people and organizations felt were inadequate, so the volunteer grassroots organization, Catskill Citizens, along with several other organizations, has organized an additional public hearing, which will be held at the Okun Theater at SUNY Delhi in Delhi, New York, on January 7th from 1 to 5 p.m. Comments will be submitted to the DEC as part of their official record. From the kitchen table out on the road, I'm Sabrina Artel. To find out more about submitting your public comment from anywhere in the United States, please go to CatskillCitizens.org and CatskillMountainKeeper.org. Thanks for joining me for Sabrina Artel's Trailer Talk. The music for the show, Patti Smith, People Have the Power. Trailer Talk is produced by Sabrina Artel. For more information, please visit TrailerTalk.net. Special thanks to WJFF Radio Catskill and the numerous people who have donated their time, resources, and conversations to make Trailer Talk possible. Thank you all who joined me in these conversations. I'm Sabrina Artel. Safe travels.